We're going to read the first six verses of John chapter 14. The question I'd like to raise with you this evening is this: how can I be sure of heaven? How can I be sure of heaven? I want to think about the importance of knowing the way to heaven and knowing that you're going to be in heaven. That's a mighty, mighty big question. And I think everyone that I've ever spoken to, I don't think I've ever met a person who I've asked the question, I asked this question today in Wallingford, do you want to go to heaven? I have never met anyone who has said to me, no, I don't want to go to heaven. Some people have said to me, to be fair, I don't believe that there's heaven. I don't know. I remember one day I knocked a door in Scotland, and would you believe John Lennon's record, Imagine There's No Heaven, was playing at the very moment I knocked the door. It was on the radio or on a CD or whatever. And the gentleman says, I'm with John Lennon. I don't believe in heaven. There is heaven. There is hell. And life is too short to be in any doubt of where we're going to be when we take our final flight from time into eternity. So this is the big question that absolutely demands an answer. Is there a way to heaven? Can we be sure of that way? How can we know the way to heaven? So let's read some words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is a very familiar passage of the Bible, and these words are often spoken at funerals. The Lord Jesus is speaking to his own disciples. They have become troubled. They have become perturbed at the Lord Jesus' announcement that he's going to leave them. He's not going to be with them on earth forever. And he's going to leave them to go back to his Father in heaven. He's been with them for 3.5 years. They have hung on his every word. They have watched his every movement. And they are distressed when they hear that the Lord Jesus is going to go to the cross and then going to go to his Father in heaven. And the Lord Jesus says in response to these troubled disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, here's the answer. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So here's the question in verse 5 and the answer in verse 6. Thomas said unto the Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't know the way. How can we know the way? And here's the answer to that big question. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no person, male, female, young or old, comes unto the Father but by me. And as always, we leave the reading of God's word in God's good hand, that he might bless us this evening through his precious word. Do you know, in John chapter 14, when you think about Thomas, this disciple who asked this question, he really gets panned by the critics as a result of asking this question. Although, in the three occasions that you read about Thomas in the word of God, he doesn't cover himself in glory. And he really, it's his own fault that he's called Doubting Thomas. To this day, although people are not as familiar with the Bible as they once were, You still hear people speak about doubting Thomas or Judas Iscariot, the traitor. Or you hear about the wisdom of Solomon. Sometimes this sort of biblical language comes into everyday conversation. And Thomas is known as a doubter. His glass was always half empty. He always looked on the downside. He always looked on the bleak side. You know, when the Lord Jesus in this very Gospel, chapter 11, said to his disciples about Lazarus had died. Lazarus had died. And Thomas says, well, let's go and die with him. Let's go and die with him. And sadly, when you come to the end of John's Gospel and chapter 20, Thomas doubts that the Lord Jesus had risen again from the dead. Thomas doubted the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But having said all that about Thomas, because for sure Christians are going to meet Thomas in heaven, so we don't want to say anything about him down here, but Thomas, I'm glad he asked what he did in John 14. I'm glad he did not suffer in silence. I'm glad he didn't keep quiet and didn't ask the... You know, I think about it sometimes, like when we were at school. If you're anything like me, there were some subjects you didn't just quite get. Just like that. And quite often, I would be sitting in certain classes, particularly maths, particularly science. I'd be sitting in certain classes and I would be really wanting to press the stop button and the rewind button and just to try and understand and go back and retrace some steps to understand what was being said. You know, when it comes to the matter of being saved and being sure that you're on the way to heaven and being right with God, please can I just say to you right at the start of the meeting, don't suffer in silence. Don't be frightened to ask questions. You know, it's going to be my fault if I preach for 45 minutes night after night and you go away from the meeting and you don't know what has been said. That's my fault. If I have not made the way of salvation clear and plain, if I have been complicated, if I have not been understandable, please ask me what you don't understand, because it's my responsibility to bring the word of God to you night after night as a servant of God and to make clear the way of salvation through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't suffer in silence. Please don't do that. And Thomas, he's listening to the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus is saying, I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again the third day. And then I'm going to go back to my Father in heaven. And the Lord Jesus is explaining these mighty, mighty truths. And Thomas is saying, wait a minute. I'm not on the same page. I don't know what the Lord Jesus is talking about. I don't know the way. I don't know exactly how to get to heaven, to the Father's house. Maybe that's exactly where you are tonight. Maybe if you were honest, you don't know how to get to heaven. And you've never started for heaven. And you're on the wrong road, and you're lost, and you're in your sins. And God's not your Father, and Christ is not your Savior, and you're afraid to die, and you know there's heaven and there's hell, and you, if you were to die tonight, that at this moment you would not be in heaven. If that's the case, I am so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that God has given you another opportunity to hear the life-giving, soul-saving message of the gospel. If you are honestly, sincerely, like Thomas, I believe Thomas was sincere. You can almost hear it as we read the scriptures. How can we know the way? How can I know the way? And if you are sincerely longing to know the way to heaven, if you are sincerely looking for answers to life's ultimate questions, if you're sincerely longing to know your sins forgiven and to have peace with God and to have eternal life and to be in a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus, if you're longing for that, I'm glad to tell you tonight, there is a way back to God. From the dark paths of sin, there is a door that is open that all may go in. Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus. There is a way to God. There is a way to heaven. And this answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gives is absolutely precious. He says, Thomas, listen, and everyone else desiring to know the way to heaven, I am the way. The way to heaven is exclusively in a person, not a religion, not a creed. The way to heaven is in Christ. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter, one of the disciples who was there in John chapter 14, listening to these words of the Lord Jesus, a few weeks later he says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus one day in this very gospel, John chapter 10 verse 9, he said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in. And what I'm going to tell you unashamedly, I'm absolutely delighted to tell you that there is a way to God. There is a way to heaven. It's an exclusive way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. You know, the disciples who preached the gospel in the Acts of the Apostles after the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, they started at Jerusalem and they preached the gospel, and quite often they were known as men who preached the way of salvation, the way to God, the way to everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he answers this big question. Do you know, it is important that we know what lies ahead. Some years ago, I was most impressed with a birthday present that one of my friends got. He turned the ripe old age of 40, and his wife got him a sat nav. It was a few years ago, and a lot of the cars now that you buy have got sat navs built in, but this was a sat nav that you bought. And it was a very expensive sat-nav. When I found out how much she'd paid for it, I was really impressed. Really impressed. And it was called the Road Angel Sat-Nav 7000. Quite a handle. Quite, you know. And I was looking at it. It was at his 40th birthday party. And I was looking at this sat-nav. And I was reading all the blurb, all the information on the box. My goodness, what this sat-nav was going to do for you. The main selling point was, it will guide you through the journeys of life and it will guard you, using alliteration, guide you and guard you on the journey of life. And they were saying, you know, everybody wants to know the quickest way from A to B, and everybody wants to know the safest way from A to B. And this sat-nav is going to alert you to speed cameras, fixed or mobile. It was going to alert you to traffic congestion. It was going to warn you about toll charges. It was going to do all sorts of things for you, because it was a road angel. It was going to guard you. It was going to guide you. And here was the selling point. At the end of the blurb, it said this, because let us all confess this. It is so important to know what lies ahead. I'll tell you something. I'm glad I've got a savior. I've got something far better than a road angel sat-nav. As important and helpful as these things can be. And even when you take the picture, the illustration I'm trying to use of a sat-nav, you know, we've all been, on Saturday night, I was in a most infuriating position because If only there had been somebody to tell me, if only there had been something on the gantry to tell me that the M8 was going to be closed and I was going to be diverted off the M8. But no, I sat in traffic for ages and ages. If I'd been warned, if I'd been alerted, I would have made the right choices. I would have taken an alternative route. I would have taken action. My friend in the meeting tonight, heaven and hell awaits every one of us. We're all going somewhere, either to heaven to be with Christ or to hell to be without Him. We're all going somewhere. We're all on a journey, and it is so good to know what lies ahead. I feel we live in a nation of people who are in denial with regards to God and heaven and eternal life. You go to funerals and you'd almost think that everybody that has ever been born and lived, regardless of what they think about God or what they've done with the Lord Jesus or how grievously they've sinned, everybody's going to heaven. Every funeral you go to, everybody's going to heaven. That is not the case. Heaven is only going to be populated with people who have chosen the right way, who have chosen Christ, people who have been saved, born again through the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you connected to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Have you taken Christ as the right way to God? You see, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way leads to death. This is God's way. God's way of salvation. God's way to heaven. And you know, there's three very simple things that I want to speak about this evening. I want to think about the journey of life. The journey of life. And discovery on the journey of life. Discovery. Then I want to think about directions you receive on the journey of life. On the road of life, you get directions. Then I want to think about the decision that you have to take on the journey of life. You see, the Word of God is given to us to confirm and alert and warn us where we are on the journey of life. See, specifically the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he spoke one day about the journey of life. We're all on the journey of life. None of us know how long the journey will take. We don't know how long we're here. There's a man in the Bible called Ethan in Psalm number 89, and he said, how long? He said, remember how short my time is. There's a man called Barzillai in 2 Samuel who said, how long have I to live? We don't know how long we're here for. We don't know how short or how long we have on earth. We're all going somewhere. We're all on a journey. But the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, on the journey of life, there are two roads in which you can travel. There's a broad road, verse 13, and there's a narrow road, verse 14. And you get the picture, you get the illustration. We're all on a journey. Sadly, the majority of people are on the broad road. Many are on the broad road. It's teeming with countless multitudes. It's life in the fast lane. It's busy. It's accommodating. It's heading for destruction. It's heading for eternal damnation. It's a tragic road to be on. The road to hell. I remember it at school as a teenager, before I became a Christian, being very interested in music, being very interested in what was in the charts, etc. And I remember a song by a group called Talking Heads, "We're on the Road to Nowhere." And then another song, "We're on the Road to Hell." I wonder, has that ever gripped you? If you're not a Christian, you're on the road to hell. If you're not saved, you're on the road to destruction. The Lord Jesus speaks about that broad road on the journey of life. The road we were all born on. The road that is leading away from God. A road that's filled with disobedient sinners, wicked sinners. But there's a narrow road going in the other direction, and it's not heading to destruction. It's heading to God. It's heading to life. It's heading to heaven. It's narrow. People have turned off the broad road. They've repented. They've done an about turn away from their sin and the way that they were travelling. And they turned away from their sin and they turned to God and they started for heaven. And they placed faith in Christ the Saviour. And then they're on the way to heaven, on the way to glory, homeward bound to glory. I would long that everybody in this meeting tonight can be assured of that. God knows the Christian's heart. We're going to heaven and we don't want you to miss out. We're bound for glory. We cannot imagine what it must be like for people to be in hell. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, he says there's one journey in life, but there's two roads on which to travel. And the Lord Jesus in amazing, amazing grace went to Calvary, that no one needs to remain on the broad road, that no one needs to die in their sins out of Christ and without a Saviour. None need perish. All may live, for Christ has died. The greatest thing for you at this moment in this meeting would be was to discover that you're lost. Discovery on the journey of life. Some people are in denial. They don't even know that they're lost. Some people are unaware of the danger that they're in, that they're not in God's family, that they're not in Christ, that they're not saved. Oh, the tragedy of that, without God, without hope, without Christ. What a discovery. What a momentous moment to discover, wait a minute, I am on the wrong road. I'm lost. I'm not saved. You're either saved or lost. The opposite of being saved is being lost. I spoke yesterday about the meaning of being saved, rescued from danger, rescued from the penalty and the judgment of God against our sins, our personal sins against God, to be rescued from that. And the opposite of being saved, safe, secure, is to be lost, straying, separated from God at a distance in the dark, a fearful looking forward to of judgment, a Christless hell awaiting you, the great white throne, the lake of fire, the judgment of God forever and ever and ever. Oh, the tragedy of that. I tremble to even think about it. That there could be people I'm speaking to in this meeting, and for years and years and years you've heard the gospel, and still you sit in your sins, still you sit at a distance from God. Not saved. Oh, I appeal to you. I beg of you this evening to think seriously about this question. To think seriously about the way to heaven. To think seriously about taking Christ as your Saviour and Lord tonight, to be safe and secure. There's a man in Psalm number 100 and can't remember which Psalm exactly it is. Psalm 119, massive big psalm. I think the verse is 176, the last verse. And the man who wrote that psalm said this, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. It's been a great meeting if you discovered that you were not right with God, that you were not on the way to heaven, because then you can take action. Then you can take the alternative route. Then you can repent and turn away from your sin to God and find Christ as the right road home. Do you know, the dominant desire of the human heart is to go his own way. To go his own way. You know, had God given 1,001 ways to heaven, the human heart would say, well, give me one more. Give me one more. Twice over in the Proverbs, I've already quoted it, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that way is the way of death. And really, the angry fist of man's rebellion is raised to God every single day. And God, the great creator, and God, the great provider of all things, is really discredited and marginalized. People have said to my face, God is not relevant. If there is a God, he's not relevant. He doesn't fit in my life. He's not relevant. This is the God that holds our breath in his hand. This is the God in whom we live and move and have our being. This is the God of eternity. This is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Oh, to discover that you're not in his family, not in his presence. You've gone astray. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark, short of the standard. We're all as an unclean thing. We're all like lost sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah tells us. The discovery on the road of life. Comes a point when you do discover that you're lost, that thank God you get directions. You think of the picture, I remember being on holiday on more than one occasion and not having a sat nav and not having a map, terrible sense of direction, hopelessly lost. And then when you think to yourself, well, I'll just go round and round a wee bit and try and get a landmark or something, then a voice comes from the side, would you not be better to ask for directions? Would you not be better to ask for directions? I am so glad to tell you tonight that, like Thomas did, you can ask for directions and you will be given directions from Christ. The Bible, the New Testament in particular, is full of directions to point you the way home to heaven. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord Jesus says, not only come to me, but he says, look unto me and be ye saved. Rely on me, trust me, believe me, receive me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever actually done that? Taking God at his word, I'm lost, God is holy, I'm sinful. I agree with God about my sin. I agree I'm the same as anybody else. I'm lost. I'm at a distance from God. My sins have separated me from my Maker. I'm under condemnation. I'm lost on the way to hell. But then you listen to the life-giving, soul-saving words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, trust me. Put your confidence in me. Rest in my finished work. Receive my salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, is what we preached yesterday. Thank God you get directions. You get directions from the Lord Jesus Christ, the very personification of truth. Remember our verse tonight, I am the way, I am the truth. God cannot lie. When God makes a promise, we can rest on it. We can implicitly trust it, unlike anybody else. The best of men are only men at the best, and some promises are not kept. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. The Lord Jesus is absolute truth in a world of spin doctors, in a world of liars. Christ is the truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives you the right directions. Would you be willing to take those directions? What does he say? I am the way. I'm the way to God. I have come from God and I'm going back to God. And if you believe in me, if you trust in me, if you rest in me, you will be with me. The Lord Jesus said that to a dying thief by his side at Calvary in those unimaginably painful hours on the cross. The Lord Jesus turns to the dying thief who asked him to remember him. And the Lord Jesus says, today, absolutely, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord Jesus gives right directions. The Lord Jesus Christ gives assurance. The Lord Jesus Christ gives you absolute certainty in a world that is so changing and so unpredictable. Yeah, you know, when I preach the gospel and speak to people, I just can't understand it, why they would not accept the God that cannot lie and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who is worthy of all that acceptation. I can't understand it. Why would you want to remain lost? Why would you want to remain in the dark when he's the light of the world? Why would you be lost when he is the way? Why would you be spiritually starving when he's the bread of life? Why would you go down to hell when you can be in heaven? Oh, serious matters, serious questions. But you do get directions. But I have to say as well, perhaps even just now, the devil is whispering or shouting loud directions in your ears. I was reading this today again in Genesis. The Bible tells us that the devil, the arch enemy of your soul, he's been a liar from the beginning. And he has always given false directions, right at the start in the Garden of Eden. He poured cold water, he poured scorn on the word of God. And he came towards Eve and he said, has God really said? Has God said? Is God telling the truth? He sowed a seed of doubt in her mind. And then he said, you'll not surely die. By taking that fruit, you'll not die. Well, who was telling the truth? Came to pass, Adam and Eve were thrust out of the Garden of Eden and they were separated from God because of their sin, and then they did physically die. They eventually physically died. As by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all, for all have sinned. And because of that sin, because of disobedience, because of rebellion to the word and law of God, sin came in as a separating chasm. And it was the devil who gave the false directions. And maybe he's been saying to you for a while, don't take it too seriously. You don't need to act. Just sit through another meeting and get home and it'll just be back to normal. Back to whatever. The same old, same old. Oh, listen to the voice of the Spirit of God this evening. Listen to the voice of Christ. Again, he says to you, come unto me. He says to you, seek me. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I beg of you tonight, don't let another night go by on the broad road. Don't go through another hour out of Christ and not on the way to heaven, not on the narrow road leading to heaven. Don't stay on the broad road. Get off it. It's dangerous. It's dark. And it's heading for destruction. I'm warning you tonight. Flee from the wrath to come. And there comes a point when you discover you're lost. And when you ask for directions, there comes a point you have to make a decision which road you're going to go. And I've tried to, like Moses, point you, set before you the way of life and the way of death. And I would say to you, please, please, please choose life. Choose life. Take Christ for the right road. Don't miss him. If you miss Christ, you miss everything. He is the way. It's either God's way or your way. I've said already, the dominant desire of the heart of man is to go his own way. And that's rebellion against God. We've been made in God's image. In the likeness of God. Made for God, for his glory. And yet because of the entrance of sin, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And down from the glory of heaven, the Son of God came. And the Son of God went to Calvary's cross. And he is the way, the truth, and the life because of who he is. He's the Son of God. And because of what he did on the cross at Calvary, he gave his sinless life an ultimate sacrifice. His precious blood was shed. His life was given on the cross. Peter puts it this way: Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And upon the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And what he did was he opened up a highway to heaven through his sacrifice and his resurrection from the dead. He opened up a highway to heaven in his own precious blood that was shed. And every person who comes away from the broad road and admits their sin and accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, they start for heaven. And heaven's going to be populated with people who've taken Christ as their Savior. Make that decision tonight. I beg of you, make that decision. Because there's a destination. We're all going somewhere. There's a destination. There's two roads to travel on in life. And there's two destinations in eternity. There's a broad road and a narrow road in life. There's heaven or hell in eternity. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and yet I know people never thought that they would be there, are in hell tonight. What a tragedy. Some time ago, I attended a funeral of my friend's father. We're all brought up in the same area, and I still live in the same area where I was brought up. And James came to tell me, "My dad's died. Would you come? Have a cord at his funeral?" I said I would. I'll be honest with you, I was quite glad he never asked me to do any more than that, because I always respected his father. He was a janitor at our primary school, but his father was one of the only people I've ever known who came back with a gospel calendar and put it back through my door and says, "No, thank you." No, I knew Mr. Walker all my life. I knew that he didn't believe in God, he'd no time for the gospel, and he died as he lived. But it was one of the saddest funerals I've ever been at. In the funeral parlour, there was no singing about God, there was no speaking about God, there was no prayers. The family got up and they told the truth. They had memories about their dad and their grandfather, and it was all true, etc., etc. But this was the saddest part. As the coffin was being carried out of the funeral parlour, James says, "I'm going to play my dad's favourite song. This is how he lived, and this is how he died. And I'm sure you know what I'm going to say. Sinatra's My Way. I did it my way." Mr. Walker's in hell tonight. You going to join him? Far better to ask what Thomas asked. "Lord, I want to know the way to heaven." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the way. Choose him tonight. Choose life. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We praise thee that he ever